things change there. So I think right now, sitting back and seeing a veteran that's done it at a high level for a long time, you can develop that way as well. McKinchin, you go through that process and learn.
Indianapolis coach Shane Steichen. Joe Flacco goes in for Anthony Richardson Sunday night at Minnesota. The Bills are in Indianapolis next Sunday. 803-0550 to join us. What is the most promising sign about the Bills season so far?
I would say the most promising sign, well, I mean, their record is excellent. 6-2. It's not the best record, but it's a very good record. Their point differential is good. That's also good. I think the most promising sign is what the passing game has looked like the last six quarters or so. I don't know, all of last week maybe doesn't need to be included because they kind of cruised through the end of the game. But back half of the Tennessee game, the start of the Seattle game, I just felt like the offense was flowing through Josh Allen again. And I know I don't expect that to be every week, but with the emphasis on running the ball that is backed up by their choices and certainly how they sound about it, I felt like I don't know if I was gonna say a switch was flipped, because I think we could be in for a run-heavy game any one of these weeks. I mean, if they can run it well against Miami, maybe they'll just run it like crazy against Miami like they did in week two. But I feel like the passing game, since really the Baltimore game, the Houston game, even the Jet game, which they won, I was like, too much of it was just Josh out of structure, running away. Like, the only big plays they got were kind of broken plays. And I feel like the last couple of games here, they look more, it looks more like a proficient NFL passing offense. And I really think they're going to need that in order, I mean, newsflash, I think they're really going to need it later on. Or even to get through this season winning 11 or 12 games. So I think Cooper's arrival coinciding with that might make you want to claim it's all Cooper, like he's drawing coverage or something. And maybe there is some of that happening. I mean, that's a theory that should work. I just feel like their passing game is really encouraging right now. Coleman's emergence, I think, is really promising.
Yeah, Coleman individually might be my answer. I don't know how big a role, though, he plays. I think he plays a role. But with Amari Cooper and all the other things they've done and can do, I don't know that Coleman is, like, exactly vital to what happens this year, but he's been fine. You know, like, I thought there were, a lot of people did, question marks about the player, but he's been fine, you know, just big plays, and they haven't really needed him to be a lot more productive, which is good because he's a rookie and you shouldn't assume that or expect that exactly. I would say also I might pick, like, the secondary. I think we knew that the corners were good. They've been healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Safety with the turnover, and who knows what the pass rush is. Von Miller, I had no expectations for him going into the season. He also missed four games to his suspension anyway. But if you can't get pressure, then it doesn't matter that you have Josh Allen on your team watching from the sideline. Like, what happens over the top? What happens to your defense, you know, where it really matters? And they've held up. I mean, the Bills' defense has absolutely held up with injuries and with these questions about what they would be. So that's good. I mean, I think I always said, you know, this year and other years about the teams with the best quarterbacks, the floor should be like 500 or even a little better than that. And that is how I felt about the Bills. But if your defense completely falls apart, then that can be wrong. You know, that's one way where it's only so valuable to have a great quarterback, great offense
this year.
A little bit, yeah. Questions about Baltimore in this area too at this point, yep. Even though they have a good record. So there are plenty of promising signs. And of course, the division is a part of it. Like, this is really, and this is to me the most surprising thing of all of it. I'm not surprised that the Bills are 6-2. I'm not surprised that the defense is making it. I'm not surprised that, you know, the offense seems fine. I am surprised that They're 4 wins ahead of second place before Halloween.
Yeah.
And that we've already started to have conversations about what to do with that. Like, now you don't do anything, and we'll see if that they could go. It could go to five this week. I mean, the Jets have a tough opponent. The Dolphins come here. The Patriots are the Patriots. It could be four and a half, five-game lead going into week 10. And I don't know. Is there anything you do about that when it's week 10?
I don't think so.
You're playing for the one seed. You're playing.
I think you just got to keep going. You know, at some point we'll get to the conversation that we've been sort of, you know, I don't know, just sort of poking with a stick already for more than a week. And it came up yesterday again. Like, you know, when do you consider? You know, what are the stakes? What's the value of? Obviously, the one is valuable. Two, three, four, okay, how do you feel? How strongly do you feel about those? I don't think they're all the same, but, you know, you might be motivated to sit guys down. Just I guess it depends on how early they clinch, which, again, could be early, maybe reminiscent of 88 when they clinched against the Jets in, that was November, wasn't it?
It was late November.
Yeah.
I will look that up. I was there.
So, you know, but even then, just because you've clinched the division, if the one is still there, if the Chiefs drop a couple and you get them here in a couple of weeks and get them, you beat them, and now you're in a race. And I'm going to have to keep going there, I think. As long as that's realistic, I'm going to have to keep going.
November 20th, 1988. The Bills improved to 11-1 and clinched the AFC East that day. Then they lost 3 out of 4. And they should have been the one seed 10 different ways that year. They went to Cincinnati the next week. They lost to Cincinnati the next week. Then they lost to Tampa Bay 10-5.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yep.
Beat the Raiders. And then that, I mean, sorry, but tragic loss at Indianapolis. The day after Cincinnati won its game to give them hope for the one, that Chip Lowmiller game against Washington, Jamie Morris, overtime, the Bengals win, but still, you know, the Bills are 50-point favorites against the hapless Colts, and they lose that one. So, ends up going to Cincinnati in the AFC Championship. Why did you have to mention all this?
We have a job to do, that's why.
Why did you bring up 1988?
It's all connected. Well, yeah, because it's that. My recollection was that was a really early clinch, and it was.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And I don't know if anybody's mindset changed, but they did lose.
Yeah, right. I don't remember who played and who didn't or anything like that. I have no idea.
I don't think anything like that happened.
Right.
I mean, they still had a stake the whole way, but all right, let's try to shake that off. Here's Zach with us. Hello.
Hey guys. I guess on the other side of the coin of this discussion here, you know, tell me if I'm being too nitpicky. I guess I'm still kind of waiting to see like a Kincaid game. You know, I feel like we've already seen, like, a couple Coleman games. Cook's had his own game. Shakir's is always good. Like, and I understand Kincaid is getting in the end zone, and he's scoring a bit, and I'm sure he's doing stuff that I don't see. I'm not reviewing tape every night or anything. But, I don't know. I guess for as much as they kind of touted him as this excellent pass catcher, which he is, I still feel like I'm waiting for, I don't know, like, for lack of a better term, it's like an epic game from him. Mm-hmm. You know, that would kind of catapult him into the top tight ends in the league. Like, I would not put him anywhere near like a Kelce or even like, you know, you look at it, and Isaiah Likely has even had his own game at this point, and he's only been around for, did he just get drafted this year or last year? But I don't know. Again, I think I'm being nitpicky, but I'd like to see a little more out of Kincaid. And I guess so, yeah.
Okay, thanks. I mean, I've said the same thing many times. I talked about this last week with JSN on the Seattle side, and both guys for first round picks drafted near each other. You know, where's the pop? Like, there really hasn't been much of a pop yet. But I think at this point, this is what you say when they're winning, I guess. But I think at this point, it's what it is. It doesn't revolve, and this is probably not even probably, this is how it really should be. But it's not revolving around his draft status. You know, there's not this forced attempt to justify picking a second tight end with your first round pick last year, which would be dysfunctional. I always think on some level, you know, if there's synergy in the organization, that's where you'd like for it to end up and not have it look like, well, geez, what did you have to do that? Mm-hmm. Couldn't we have used speed, you know, instead or whatever we would have said last year or this year? But the offense is functioning. Knox exists. Knox is still playing a part in their passing game. He's on the field a lot. They want to be a running, more of a running team anyway. He's a part of that. You have other slot receivers. There's only so many snaps where I think you can have Kincaid. And then what's the target share after that? So I agree. It would feel good. It would feel good. But I just think this is, it's kind of working. I would guess. I would think that they would say that.
Yeah. I'm just looking at Kincaid's, you know, game over game here going back into last year. And he, you know, he had, did have 10 receptions and a loss in Cincinnati, 81 yards, so modest for 10 catches. 87 yards against New England in December on New Year's Eve, 84 yards in the clincher against Miami last year. Playoffs were modest. And then you've got this year, and where are we at this year? What's his biggest game this year is 52 yards against Tennessee,
right,
on 3 catches. So yeah, I mean, it just has not been that game. And I think the caller's right, but it's receiver versus Coleman's had that game already. He's at a 100-yard game. Kincaid doesn't even have a 100-yard game yet, but it's a tight end. I mean, it's not as common, certainly, for a tight end to have that kind of day, but. Yeah, I mean,
well, how is Coleman getting there? Like, it's busted plays, you know. That's not his fault, but the Houston touchdown, right, last week, a couple of times, it's just like a broken coverage, and you're getting, I don't know if you have it, but like 40-yard plays, 40 to 50-yard plays from Coleman,
mm-hmm.
And he's just going to be more likely to do that than Kincaid is, don't you think?
Yeah. He's going to be one-on-one on the outside and, yeah, break a tackle and you're out of there. And Kincaid's going to always have to be dealing with more traffic, so the yak is going to be likely different. I like the talent of the player, certainly, but you're not out of line wanting more there at all, I don't think.
57-yard play against Tennessee, I guess only 25 against Seattle, but Coleman has had a 24-yard catch or greater in 6 games already, 6 out of 8. Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's been very encouraging. So far, that looks like a win. 803-0550, thanks for the call, Zach. Getting connected with the fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com.